What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Where to Begin podcast with Chris DeFrancesco and Morgan DeFrancesco, which is my wife. Morgan, how are you?
Rar, rar, rar. I'm good. I don't know why I did that. Let's just continue.
All right. So this is episode one. We recorded episode one, I want to say like a month ago. So obviously, since then, a lot has happened. The entire series of Mandalorian is over. And we are just a couple days away from Christmas, which is hard to believe as we are already down the home stretch of just probably one of the most unforgettable years in so long, quite possibly ever. You know, since our last show or our last recording that you guys never heard, we have a new president of the United States coming in here in January. Obviously, this podcast won't be political, but just want to let you guys know of what has happened since we actually did a recording.
We also have counters and a working sink.
That I don't is think correct.
We did it the last show.
No, the when we recorded the first, what was supposed to be the first episode, our entire kitchen was completely out of commission. But since then, we have brand new sink, brand new countertops. You know, our kitchen table finally has chairs. It's just been a whirlwind of a couple months. But nonetheless, this is episode one of a podcast that my wife and I have been talking about doing for quite a while. I want to say, you know, going on close to probably like a year and a half, maybe longer. 2020 has kind of warped people's idea of time. So I don't exactly know how long it's been. But nonetheless, here we are. It is called the Where to Begin podcast. And the reason why is my wife and I have been married 3 years, a little over 3 years now. We have a two-year-old daughter. She's a full-time work from home mom. I am a full-time work out of home dad.
I'm not sure you go in the office 3 days a week.
Well, yeah. But
oh,
I
yeah.
Mean,
work out of home. I see.
I
what
work
you did
out
there.
Of the. I don't stay. Yeah, I get in my car and I drive to work. And so basically, the reason why we do this podcast is because based on what you guys just heard, my wife a lot of times has to work at night. And that's because during the day, like I said, she also does work during the day, but she also is a mom. So she has basically two full-time jobs during the week. When I come home from work later in the afternoon, it is my turn to finally get the chance to be dad. But that, you know, life doesn't stop there for my bride here. She has to make dinner for the family.
I have to. Did everyone hear that? I have to do this.
She has to make dinner for the family so we can all survive, because if she allows me to cook the dinners every night, I'm not sure how long or what the percentages of the survival rate would be for the family.
Oh, we would have been divorced after a month, Christopher.
That's when Morgan goes to work a lot of times. And so that realistically, we don't have too much husband and wife time sometimes during the week. So, you know, there are a lot of nights where, you know, Morgan and I might not talk to each other, significantly have conversations until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And that's kind of sometimes most nights when our nights begin. And, you know, whether it's, you know, having the physical connection that we have to maintain, obviously, as you know, husband and wife, and as you know, we are two adults that have those needs and such, but
right. I require
also,
all of the snuggles.
Exactly.
All of the cuddles.
But, you know, but also from a intellectual standpoint where, you know, things happen during the day, her and I are nerds. We're dweebs. We love, you know, film. I love pro wrestling. You know, I have a pro wrestling podcast, a sports podcast. So,
it's not time
Morgan
to plug your other shows.
I'm not going to say the names of
you're
them.
You're plugging.
But, you know, we decided to do this podcast because guess what? Even though it's funny, you guys might hear the audio. My wife is in our bedroom and I am in our kitchen. So
correct.
Technically We're still not face to face, but I'm looking at her. She can see me, but we are talking to each other. But this is a podcast where we're going to talk to you guys about our life as a married couple with a toddler, two working parents. And then we're going to, you know, talk about things that we love that sometimes we just can't talk about because life just gets really busy and we're not complaining about it. We love each and every second of being husband and wife and being parents to our daughter. Obviously, it gets really hard, really difficult sometimes, but you know, you sign up for it when you plan to have a child, you sign up for the hard times. But, you know, we're going to be very upfront and honest with our experience. We're not going to sit on this podcast and start tossing out our opinions on how you guys should handle yourselves or handle your relationship, your marriage, handle your kid or your kids, plural. We're just going to give you our life experiences, our happenings, and just basically also go over our interests. Like there might be an episode where
you are also forgetting a member of our family, sir.
The dog?
Yes.
I think he's with me, right? I think he's down here somewhere.
He's not with me.
I think he's at the top of the steps. So we have a 3-year-old corgi, tricolor, purebred corgi. His name is Griffey. And for those who are wondering, yes, the baseball player, Ken Griffey Jr., our family dog is named after him. But regardless of the baseball player, it's just an all-around cool name.
It is. I mean, it's so fun to say.
When we go to the vet, there's a lot of women there who probably, obviously, based off my next comment, have no idea who Ken Griffey Jr. is. And some of them probably don't even care what baseball is. But, you know, I'll say, what's their name? What's his name? And I'll say Griffey. And they'll be like, that's such a cool name. I love that name. It's so creative. I'm like, it's not creative. It's named after a man. But nonetheless, it is a really cool name. But yeah, so that's our family. He's easy. We don't really have to worry about him unless a human being walks in our front door. And then it's like the wolves in Beauty and the Beast when they just hound you and jump all over you.
But remember, he has like no legs.
So he has like no legs. But yeah, you know, there might be episodes where we talk about, you know, our favorite Office episodes. You know, my wife and I also, you know, love Seinfeld. We watch Seinfeld. We could do a thing where we go over our top five favorite Marvel Universe films. You know, geez, you know, she deserves points where she has watched every episode of every season of the Batman, the animated series. So
you haven't watched a single episode of Bachelorette with me.
Yes, I have many.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I have watched most episodes of Bachelor in Paradise.
How can you not?
I mean,
pop the popcorn and get the laughs going.
It makes me feel better as a man and as a husband when I watch these shows. I just feel like I'm not missing anything. Although I would love to be on the beach just as like a passerby guy and just watch it all unfold. And then just be like, ha, ha, just like laugh as I'm walking down the beach with Griffey. But yeah, there's so much we're going to get into. You guys will find out more and more about us as time goes on. And since we're in the holiday season, we figured since, you know, we try to make date night a designated night during the week where, again, Morgan is slaving over a hot stove, baking something delicious, or maybe we have some popcorn, some ice cream, and we
homemade
sit down.
Whipped cream.
Yeah, homemade whipped cream.
With some cinnamon. Ooh.
Oh, it's so good. The strawberry whipped cream is incredible.
That's delicious.
That's a good
one.
The eggnog one was a real, real winner.
Life-changer.
Surprising winner. Yeah. And then we'll sit down and we'll watch a movie, whether it's, you know, we'll get started on a series like Harry Potter and we'll go through, or it's just something we're just in the mood for. There's been a couple movies we just watched for the first time and stuff like that. And what we do is we alternate every week on who picks which movie. So far, Morgan has probably picked some of the worst ones.
Not true.
Inception, Minority Report.
Okay, Minority Report's a fantastic film. You just failed to appreciate it for what it is.
Well, it was about
Inception,
10 years
that was
before
like
its
3
time.
Years ago.
No, I don't recall. See, it's 2020.
It's been
just
so
blame
long.
Just blame it all on 2020. So we're going to, what we figured is it's Christmas time, right? We're about, what are we recording this? Monday night, 21st. We're 4 days from Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. It's our favorite time of the year, I would assume. That's your favorite time, correct?
It is correct. You got that.
Oh, good. I'm happy I got that.
If we were on a game show, a newlywed game show, even though we're not newlyweds, we would have gotten a point for that. Good job, Milo.
Got 1 point. What's it called? The newlywed game? Yeah, we would have gotten some points for that. So we figured we'd go over our top five favorite Christmas movies. And again, you know, when we post this, I don't want any complaints from you guys. You can give me your opinion on what your favorite movies are. But remember, this is our personal favorite movies. You know, in my wrestling podcast, my cohort and I, Kyle, we have to, when we give list episodes, we have to give the disclaimer to people that this is our personal list. All right. If you have
but you know better than everyone, my love.
I don't.
So if it's your list,
then it's the list.
The list. You just made the list.
So we're going to go from 5 to 1. And
favorite Christmas movies. I don't think we even said what the topic was.
I did. Maybe I said our favorite Christmas films.
Ah, clearly I'm very attentive to every word you're saying. Yes.
Last night we got in this little bit of a mini heated debate over Chris not listening and things going in one ear and out the other. Literally
headphones on
25 seconds ago. I said we're doing a top five Christmas movies list, and she had no idea what I said.
That's the first thing I've not heard you say in like 5 years.
So what I just said went in through both your ears and then both sets of headphones.
It got stuck in the headphones, my love. It never actually made it through.
That's funny.
To the inner ear canal.
I don't blame you because those are the headphones that I wore for my previous trash job. So
yes.
For all the scum that works over there. So let's go from 5 to 1. Woo-hoo. My love,
I get to start.
Ladies first, you get to start with your number 5. Give me what it is and tell me why.
My top 5 favorite films starting. Okay, I kind of messed that up. So we're just going to starting with number 5. So this may actually surprise you. And it's a film I don't watch every year, but it's like the film of my Christmas childhood. And I love the music. And it's one of those things where I don't need to watch it to appreciate it. But it's The Year Without a Santa Claus. It's one of those old timey puppety films, but it has Heat Miser and Snow Miser in it. Mm-hmm. And it's the year where like Santa Claus gets sick. And so he can't like go deliver the presents. And an elf has to like go. Anyway, there's lots of fun things that happen. Heat Miser, Snow Miser have a debate over if it's going to be hot or cold Christmas, but it's just a super fun film, but I really like the music from it. And so it's one of those things where, while as an adult now, I don't watch it that much anymore. And I'm really excited for our daughter to be able to watch it next year. Hopefully it's still music that I really enjoy and associate with the Christmas season. So number 5 is The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Do you remember when that was made?
No, and actually,
that's one of the originals, right? The one that everyone watches. It's like the Rudolph Frosty.
That's right, because it was stop motion animation. It was 1974.
Actually, it's younger than I thought it was, because I was thinking early 60s. But wow, that's wild. All right, so my number 5 is, you can look up the years in front of you if you want. I believe this was 1994.
No, I know what it is, but
Santa Claus is my number 5.
It was 94.
94. Look at that.
Well, I mean, you just looked at it like 2 days ago. So
did I look at that 2 days ago?
Maybe it was last week, but we did. I remember you looked up and you're like, wow, I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, oh, that's right. 26 years old. Yeah. So the original Santa Claus is one of my favorite. I think it's in probably my top 20 of overall favorite films. Really? See, when I was growing up, when that movie came out, it might have even been before Home Improvement as a television show. It was a television show that we watched quite often in my house. I watched that a lot with my dad. Home Improvement, you know, Tim Allen was massive. I think, you know, by like 95, he was the voice of Buzz Lightyear for Toy Story. So Tim Allen was pretty big at the time. And I remember when he was a Santa Claus, and it was big. I remember going to the movie theater to see it. My dad actually sprung some cash there to go to the movie theater in old Delran, New Jersey, AMC, I believe it was. So for those of you in live close to Delran, New Jersey, we live in South Jersey. There is a Target there now, okay, in that development off of Route 130. And that Target used to be a Kmart. And next to the Kmart, there was a little movie theater. Might have been like six screens, maybe.
Was it like $5 movie theater? Did you have one of those?
Yes. Down in Cinnaminson, if people that lived closer, obviously in this area that we live in, if you would have went down further in Cinnaminson where the current ShopRite is in Burlington Coat Factory, that used to be the $1.50 movie theater, because that's where I saw Armageddon. I saw, remember the movie Congo? Terrifying movie. I saw that for $1.50. I was terrified for 2 weeks. My grandmom took me to see that, of course.
That's so funny. My grandma, my grandmother took me to see at the dollar movie theater by us, The Mummy. And I was a little kid and I ran out screaming after 10 minutes because those weird beetle things. And then I just hopped from different theater to different theater. I mean, of course, my grandmother and aunt just stayed in the film because this was back when you can just let children just roam free unattended.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, I love the Santa Claus. You know, you look at it now and you go, oh my gosh, like Santa fell off a roof and died and no one cares. So this guy just picks up a suit and it doesn't have Mrs. Claus, but he's able. It's so weird how in the first film he's able to have Christmas without a Mrs. Claus, but the second film, you better get a Mrs. Claus or you're not going to be able to be Santa.
Well, they realized he was really crappy in the first film. Yeah. He needed a woman.
I thought the movie, to this day, it holds up. I think it's so funny. One of my favorite scenes is like in the beginning when he has to go to Denny's because he just lights the kitchen on fire with the turkey. And he goes into Denny's and he wants, let's get some their classic Denny's eggnog. They're out. All right, I'll have some chocolate milk. We're also out. Okay, well, regular milk is all right. I'll get some decaf coffee and regular milk. I'm just a big fan of the movie. I think it was very clever, even to this day. I think the story arc is just, it's really good. And Tim Allen's just classic. I do think they jumped the shark a little bit with the third film with Jack Frost, although I liked all three. The second film was pretty good, too. I liked the love story where Santa has to find a wife and find Mrs. Claus. I like that. But Santa Claus from 1994, the original, would be my number five. All right. Number four.
Number four. The Grinch. And it's the new one, the one that came out in 2019 or was it
2018,
right? Mm-hmm. I just loved it. I thought it was a little bit of an interesting spin on the Grinch. I also am completely obsessed with the scene with the carolers where they're doing like the West Side Story dance.
Oh, it's so good. Yep. So good.
I just really, really enjoy it.
That actually convinced us to watch the movie.
Yeah, it did. I know that scene in the trailer, I was like, I need to absorb this entire film. And I love, and it's, I would probably say that's probably pretty closely tied to the Jim Carrey Grinch, because I really do enjoy that. I remember when that first came out, I saw it in theaters, and it was, I think that's a really good adaptation too. But I do really, really enjoy the new cartoon one. And I also think, if I'm trying to think from like the standpoint as a mother, I think the newer Grinch is probably going to be what our daughter grows up mm-hmm. knowing as the Grinch. And so that kind of makes it a little extra special to me too.
I agree. So my number four is the same thing mm-hmm. is the 2018 Grinch. And like, look, I grew up, and no disrespect to the original Grinch, which is, I love, if it's on, I will watch it. No disrespect also to the Jim Carrey one. I also enjoy that one as well. But there's just something special about that newer one that they made. I like what Benedict Cumberbatch brings to that character of the Grinch. The story is good. I think they add a good little new spin, a modern spin to it. Obviously they kind of, you know, delegate around the original story a little bit, doesn't follow it true to form, but you know, I like the rap, like the first 20 minutes of the movie, the rap scene of him waking up and it's a Grinch rap. I think that's really funny. Like you said, the West Side Story scene of following him around town. Again, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was great. And I think you and I, after we saw it, we said, this is probably going to become a yearly tradition in the house to watch this movie.
And when we went to go watch it on December 6th, we were very angry to find out that Netflix removed it on December 4th.
So you guys are going to find out as we do more shows how much I despise Netflix.
Hate Netflix.
For the sole reason that every single time I want to watch a different movie, I go to Netflix, it's never there.
If a the month movie, later, it's there.
And if the movie has sequels, the sequels are there, but the originals. This was about 2 months ago. Morgan and I, we love the movie Ocean's 11. Haven't seen it in a long time. We go to Netflix. I think let's just give it a shot. Go to Netflix. They don't have Ocean's 11, but let me tell you what they did have. Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13, but not the original. It is ridiculous.
Those hussies.
There's, and then like, I want to say maybe 6 months ago, really wanted to watch The Dark Knight. You know what they had? Batman Begins. They didn't have Dark Knight Rises. I wouldn't have watched that anyway, but they have Batman Begins, but not The Dark Knight. Not 3 days later, after we had already watched The Dark Knight on DVD, you know, those old things called DVDs.
Because we're so lazy and we don't like having to take the time to actually put something in the PlayStation.
It's true. So then literally 3 days later, I just go on Netflix because probably we're going to watch The Office or something like that. There it is, front and center as a highlighted feature on the front page. As soon as you open up Netflix, The Dark Knight. I wanted to do bad things to the television when I saw that, because it's just unbelievable. But I digress. Yes, we went on a week or two ago to finally watch. I think it was when we got our Christmas tree.
Yes, because that was that weekend. Yeah.
Right. And we wanted to watch The Grinch. For about 5-6 months, The Grinch had been right there in the front page of Netflix. Mm-hmm. We go there on December 6th, no longer there. But The Grinch with Jim Carrey was there, but that's not what I wanted. That's the Netflix way. This is the way. Netflix steals the Mandalorian. This is the way to screw Chris. that's the deal. So my number four, in a long roundabout way, is the 2018 version of The Grinch, animated with Benedict Cumberbatch. Okay, honey, number three.
Number three.
I already said it. You don't have to say it.
Chris, this is our podcast, and you don't get to tell me when I can or cannot speak. You can tell me that behind closed doors. I could be the wife who gets permission to speak, but not on this podcast. Number three is Elf. I love Elf. And it's funny. It's so weird. Elf is also one of those movies I don't have to watch every year, but I can still quote it and I still appreciate it. But this is one of those things I always knew, like growing up, like all the Christmas classics, like I just said, The Year Without a Santa Claus was 1974, were all before I was born or came out. Like 1994, I was 3 years old. So for Santa Claus, that would be an honorable mention for me. I do love the Santa Claus, but like I was too young then. But like Elf came out, I was 12 years old, I think, when Elf came out. So like it truly is a film from my childhood. That's like, it's cool. It's just lasting so long. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those films that like I can actually say, yeah, that's a like I was born when that, like I actually appreciated it when it came out, and it wasn't just something that I was bandwagoning on from a film from the 70s. Kind of thing. But that's one of the reasons why I really like it, is just because of the longevity of it. And I was actually born and around and could appreciate the timing of the comedy that was in it. So Elf is number three. And that's a movie we still need to watch. And Christmas is quickly. We decided to watch that on Wednesday, right?
Was Elf the one we decided to watch on Wednesday?
I think so. Okay. And I say I think so, I mean, I'm 1000% positive we are watching Elf on Wednesday.
Okay. Elf it is. All right. So my number three, let me go pull it up here. I don't know why my screen went black here. All right. My number three is Die Hard.
I knew it.
So my number three would be absolutely Die Hard. So fun fact about Morgan, this big movie buff, when I met her, I worked for the movie company.
I did work for 20th Century Fox, Christopher.
No, I know that. And then you didn't know what Die Hard was.
No. Okay. Slow down. I knew what Die Hard was. I just hadn't seen it.
That's disrespectful as an American.
It's not disrespectful.
Like Die Hard is literally, I think, in that whatever it's called, that museum of film, like as some of the greatest.
The films National Film Registry.
There you go. I think Die Hard's like in that. I know Dark Knight was just put in there a couple weeks ago, which is way overdue. It's the greatest film of all time. But so Die Hard, and I struggle with this a lot lately regarding, is it a Christmas movie? Is it not? If you don't think it's not, then it's not. If you do think it is, it is. You know, would you consider that a Christmas film?
Yes, it takes place. If a film's plot takes place on Christmas or Christmas Eve, even if that's not the main, like it's a Christmas film because it takes place during that season.
Okay. Even though it doesn't the plot doesn't center around Christmas. The entire film takes place during Christmas.
I mean, and there's a lot of Christmas references. There's so many Christmas references. Like it is, to me, it has to be a Christmas film because, I mean, they chose that on purpose.
Yeah. The plot, the summary or the thesis is he's coming home for Christmas.
Right. It adds something to the plot. It's not just they didn't randomly pick Christmas Eve. Like there was a purpose to it. So yes, I do consider it a Christmas movie.
Okay. Yeah. So I love Die Hard. It's in probably my top 10, top 12 favorite films ever. I'm a huge Bruce Willis fan. I have been since I was a kid. So I just put Die Hard up there. I know it's a movie that when Morgan watched it for the first time, she loved it. I don't think she had huge expectations for it when she went into it. But then at the end, literally like 2 weeks ago, she wanted to watch it again.
We did.
I mean, that's a movie I can watch nonstop. I just thought what was so good. One, great acting, you know, Alan Rickman, you know, rest in peace. Obviously I knew him first from Die Hard and then knew of him, then loved him more with the Harry Potter franchise.
So you didn't know him first from Robin Hood?
I knew him first from Die Hard because Die Hard's 1986. That's when I was born. That's a 34-year-old movie. So it's I'm a really big fan of that movie. I'm a huge fan of the entire franchise of Die Hard. So is it 86? 87?
I didn't look that up. I was looking up Robin Hood, which was 91. Okay.
So that would have been after Die Hard. But yeah, Die Hard's incredible. Start to finish, the movie's just so well written, so well acted. At that time, I was also a big fan of the cop, Reginald, I think it's DeJohnson or VeJohnson, who was the dad in Family Matters. He always reminded me of my dad. Not now, because my dad's not that big anymore, but he always reminded me of my dad watching Family Matters. But I was just I love that movie so much. Pardon my French, man. It's a badass movie. It really is. Bruce Willis was incredible in it. But yeah, definitely. It's a film now that I definitely want to watch every single year. When we watched it again about a month ago, it just reminded me how legendary it is. So yeah, Die Hard is my number three. Morgan, you're number two.
Number two.
Go ahead.
You can't get angry.
No, it's because you say it much sexier than I do.
I don't mean that. I say it robotically. I can't help if I'm just naturally sexy. I'm not putting this in there. I'm just being me, Chris.
Yeah.
This is me.
This is you.
Okay. Number two is A Christmas Story.
Okay.
Because there's something very quintessential. It's just, you always have to watch it. And it also doesn't, I think it's also maybe a brainwashing from ABC Family, since all those years they force it on you for like 48 hours straight.
You're not wrong.
But it is so interesting because that film does not hold up that well in terms of like being able to relate, because our culture and technology, everything's so different now.
I don't know.
But it's still so enjoyable. Well, I mean,
The
story relates, but like just even from how his school looks to the way they dress to the
The movie was wanted. Made, right, it came out in 81, but it was, or 83. It came out in 83, but it was based, I think, in the 40s or the 50s.
Right. And so,
am I boring you?
No, I'm just, I haven't
slept. Someone in two slept and a half today.
Years. No, I haven't slept in 2.5 years. I stand by that. I don't know. There's just something so quintessential and wonderful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still just so funny.
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's one of those things too. I think it's sad, but I do think it's true in our culture today, especially like when the millennium hit. I feel like we're so used to being entertained and to find things that are like overly sexual and dirty and crude to be funny. That's kind of where comedy took a turn.
Yeah.
And this is something where it's genuinely a really clean movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still so enjoyable. And that's something that I feel like you don't get that very much in society anymore. And I mean, you may get clean films, but they just don't nail the comedy that well anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But I love that film. And it's something we watch every Christmas Eve. So it's also nice because it's our own little tradition.
Well, I mean, I've been watching that movie long before I met you. So, but adding it to our traditions, good.
I've been watching it before I met you too as well, Christopher. But as a married couple, I appreciate that we've carried this on.
So my number two is also A Christmas Story. Again, I will piggyback on everything that my wife just said. And, you know, she said it's the quintessential kind of family film. And it really is, because not only is it a comedy, and yes, some parts don't translate well to today, but when you watch the movie at its core and you just sit there and watch the film, you know, it's a middle class family with, you know, a hardworking dad who goes out and works. It's in the middle of Cleveland, Ohio. So the weather, it got some good snow. You know, you have kids that are preparing themselves for Christmas. They're walking around town. They see the toys that they want. Ralphie wants, you know, every kid every year wants that one gift. And that's what he wants. The movie's focused around that. They create legendary scenes, like the leg lamp is part of that. You know, him yelling, "Oh, fudge," except he didn't yell fudge.
Ooh.
He yelled the word, the F-dash-dash-dash word. I love the movie so much. What makes it so special to me is I've made it a point since I was young that I do not watch that movie until Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. when TBS or TNT starts their 24-hour marathon of A Christmas Story. I do not watch it until 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve, its first showing. I'll watch it the entire 24 hours. It'll be the only thing on the television. It'll be in the background eventually, blah, 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 Christmas Day. But that movie, to me, it's one of the last, like, appointment television that I have left in terms of, like, things that you look forward to once a year. You know, that movie only really comes on once a year, but obviously, you know, we have the DVD. We can watch it anytime, but it's weird. Like, I have zero interest to watch that movie once, like, December 1st hits until Christmas Eve. Like, once Christmas Eve hits, I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to watch A Christmas Story, because it's like, all right, Christmas is here now.
Yeah, Christmas exactly. Eve. It's like the signal.
Yes.
It's here. Yeah. It's also like, by the time it comes around for us to watch that film, dinner is done. Like, mm-hmm. it's time for us to relax. Because one thing you and I really try to take into account on Christmas is we try to not overdo it, and we try to genuinely enjoy the day and right. relax. And Christmas Eve is the day where we go to church. I usually make the bigger meal the harder meal, I would say, on Christmas Eve. And that's the day we're really going. But I feel like Christmas Story is the start of us just kind of being able to relax and just truly just enjoy, you know, the time.
I agree. Again, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, one thing I was thinking about, because I was talking about earlier how I don't think it's so interesting, because I don't think it translates that well into our today's society. One reason that I think that proves it, look at the musical that they came out with.
Remember, oh, you're right.
It was so bad.
It was a disgrace.
It was so bad, and no one liked it.
No.
But anyway, okay.
You're right. That is true. Like, they tried to do it in 2019, 2018.
Mm-hmm. And they still kept it with the time frame, but like, you couldn't appreciate it. It was weird.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, the "I'll shoot your eye out," the photo of, you know, the scene where Santa kicks him down the slide.
They don't
in the mall.
Say "I'll shoot your eye out." That's like,
"You'll
a threat.
Shoot your eye
out."
I'm sorry.
"I'll shoot your eye out."
"You'll shoot your eye out." Yeah, there's just so many great one-liners in there. You know, I love the dad. I think it's Darren McGavin, who was also the dad in Billy Madison, for those of you who don't know who the actor is. He was a father in Billy Madison with Adam Sandler. But, I just love the movie. I love it. You know, even, like, the dynamic between the mother and the father is just really funny, and you can kind of relate to it, too. And I just love it. It's, like you said, it tells me that Christmas is here. Let's chill out and let's really just enjoy the night and prepare for the next morning. All right. So we are here at the end of episode number one of the Where to Begin podcast with Chris and Morgan, a relationship and interest podcast. All right. You're number one. What is
number one?
And then you pause. You like were like a Kate McKinnon there. Number one. And then you like, you pause with your mouth open. Like,
I wish they could see my face. But I know. I wish they could see what you did. This is not a video thing.
I know. All right. What is your favorite Christmas movie of all time?
Well, I think we should both go, because I'm pretty sure we're the same.
Yeah. I mean, how can you ever put anything above Christmas Vacation?
Oh, I was going to say A Christmas Night.
I thought it was
Is that what
before
it's called?
Christmas.
What's it called?
A Night Before.
Stupid isn't it, Vanessa Hudgens movie you love.
Don't say it's stupid. It was awesome.
It's the absolute worst film. Ugh. It is Hallmark on steroids.
I love it.
No, it's so
bad.
It's
Vanessa Hudgens at her finest.
All right, Chris. All right, my favorite is also Christmas Vacation. And I mean, your favorite,
Josh. How can it not be? We watched it the other night, and it's like from start to finish, you just laugh.
Oh, it's so
just
wonderful.
So over the top, legendary. It's as if The Hangover was a Christmas movie.
Like, yes. Yes. It's just like every line
outrageous.
Is outrageous. Every line is memorable.
Like this one little guy gets kidnapped by Eddie and the SWAT team just literally knocks their house down at the end. And it's just like,
wait, didn't you say that'd be a great meme for showing people who have more than 10 people
in
their house
for Thanksgiving
during COVID
or Christmas?
Season, the SWAT team just
you get
comes
reported up. By your neighbor, you have 11 people in your house on Christmas, and all of a sudden there's people going through my window to evacuate everybody. But look, you know, we could sit here all day and quote the movie from the opening credits to the end credits, but obviously we won't do that. But you know, some of my favorites are, you know, ones that I grew up with my dad and I, we would hang up lights and I would mess something up. You know, I would always, you know, my dad would always say, come on, I'm trying to teach you everything you'll know about exterior illumination. I love the little kid,
when Russ just drops, he's like, where? He's like, right there. And Russ just drops.
Just lay him down the lawn there, Russ. And he just drops him.
I totally see you doing that.
Oh, I love it. And then they're in the mall and he's talking to the woman behind the counter and Russ shows up at the line and she's wearing a thong that you can't even see because, you know, there's no line there. Because at the time, the
can't
thongs
see the line.
Were so
can
high
you,
up. And he goes, nope. He has no idea. And like that whole sequence of dialogue with Chevy Chase was great. And there's just so many, like one of my favorite scenes ever in that movie is when Eddie's wearing the white long sleeve shirt with the black dickie
the
under
black
it.
Black dickie. And it's so great.
And they're in the living room and they're drinking eggnog. And then
he breaks,
you know,
that thing.
He goes up to this little windmill and literally just breaks it. And it's like, you know, and there's just so many little subtle lines. Like, you know, how Eddie wanted to make it a surprise when they show up on the front lawn, the lights finally work. And
if I woke up tomorrow with Eddie my head sewn to the carpet, I would be more surprised than I am right now.
Are you surprised to see me, Clark? Eddie, if I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. And then it's like, you know, like I said, after the Dickie part, he goes to get him. He goes, can I get you some more eggnog, Eddie? Can I drive you out to the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead? He goes, no, I'm all right, Clark. And it's just, there's so many lines and it's like, there's little ones that you don't hear until, you know, you've seen the movie 100 times, like, the parents, the in-laws just get there and Eddie and, Clark goes, he goes, all right, I'll be outside. I'm going to go park the cars. I'll just, you know, if you need me, I'll be out here for the season. He just doesn't want to come back in the house. And when Clark gets the lights on or they don't work, I'm sorry. And the dad, Clark's dad, comes up to him and says, you know, if I was you, I would personally check each one. And Clark says, I did that. Daddy goes, well, you know, if you need any help, just holler up. I'll be upstairs asleep. So he's not going to help because he's going to be sleeping.
That whole scene has so many great lines.
Oh, it's so
my favorite
good.
is when the girl's like, they worked really hard, Grandpa. So do washing machines.
It's so good. And it's crazy because that movie came out in 89 and it's, you know, 30 years old and it still holds up more so than ever. I mean, it's easily one of the most used, like, quotable movies. I think it's one of the most meme worthy movies because, you know, Chevy Chase is a great, you know, a great character actor.
He's very physical, like not his physical, his like facial expression.
He's very
like,
animated.
Yeah.
Super animated. I mean, he's a complete a-hole, but he's he's a very animated actor and he's made some great hits. But yeah, our number one is A Christmas Vacation. I think obviously we share that. A lot of people share that opinion. So my five films again from 5 to 1 was The Santa Claus, The Grinch from 2018 animated, Die Hard, A Christmas Story, and Christmas Vacation. What was your top five?
My top five films were number 5, The Year Without Santa Claus, followed by The Grinch, 2018, followed by Elf, followed by A Christmas Story, followed by National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's right. All right, guys, I want to thank you guys so much for those of you who are going to listen to this. You know, when you hear it,
I know. I don't like listening to my own husband. So the fact that y'all are listening to my husband.
You're right. Yeah. I don't even listen to myself, let alone any of these podcasts
just
that
kidding,
I do.
My love. I love listening to you.
Oh, appreciate that. So the entire time I was staring at her in the screen, like, you better say that you love listening to me.
Correct.
So we have,
I'm not going downstairs.
So you have to, we have two episodes of His Dark Materials to watch.
True.
For those of you who are going to listen to this, thank you guys so much. If you want to hear any specific topics regarding marriage, relationships, or film, television, sports, wrestling, anything you guys want to know or want to hear about, Pinterest, definitely reach out to us and let us know. This is the Where to Begin podcast with Chris and Morgan. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Breaker, anywhere you guys listen to podcasts, you will be able to hear this voice in your ear. And occasionally you will also hear my wife when I go over to her to speak.
Right. I've been getting pointers every time I'm allowed to speak. He points. If he's not pointing, I can't speak.
That's really good. All right. Thank you guys very much. My love, get downstairs so we can. It's 10:10. We got to watch these shows.
You got to watch these shows.
I know. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I am Chris. That is Morgan. We are the DeFrancescos. We will catch you guys down the road. Have a absolutely healthy and safe Merry Christmas. And whatever you guys celebrate, you know, God bless you guys. God bless your family. Just remember the most important thing this year are the three things that money cannot buy. And that's love, health, and happiness. And if you guys have those three things, you are very, very rich. Just remember that. All right. God bless you guys. Have a good one. And I'll catch you guys down the road. Bye-bye.